Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
So, here we go. We're going to continue with our series of Moses' life in today's world. Okay, that's what we've called it. And today we're reading from Exodus 17, 18 to 13 and 16. And it's called Fighting and Praying. And so then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Redim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with a staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword, saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek." That's the bit I want us to hear. "The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And so we see here that Israel had crossed the Red Sea and they were full of joy, full of freedom. I guess the guys we've just seen in Pentonville can't wait for that day where they're released and they find that freedom to be able to do what they want. But the Egyptians, the Israelites had just come out and been free. But all of a sudden, they started to grumble. You know, they found themselves in the middle of a desert, and it was, "I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. I want something to drink. I want something to eat." And I've got to say that if I was stuck in the middle of the desert with nothing to drink, I would have been grumbling as well. Right? Or especially if I was stuck somewhere where I could only eat food without no meat. I know some of you do. I'm trying not to look out right there. I'll say that. But some of you eat food without meat. I don't know how you do it. I would be grumbling badly if that was me. I love meat. But the thing is this, it's easy to get into grumbling when things don't quite work out as we hoped that they would be. But when we follow Jesus, when we follow the Lord as he asks us to, we need to be free. We need to be submitted and surrendered to whatever it is that God wants us for us in our lives. And so as we read John 3, the Holy Spirit, which is God, is free like the wind. Is free. And so if we want to follow him, we must be free of any of the shackles that we put ourselves on ourselves in life. And so we see here Israel was following God, and suddenly they were pounced upon by the Amaleks. The Amaleks ambushed God's people. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been ambushed in your life or not before. I certainly have a couple of times. I remember when we left school quite a few years ago, we went to watch a film. We were Leyndon, and there's Basildon kind of over there. So we had to go to Basildon to watch the films. And it was called Saturday Night Fever. So if you remember that one? Yeah, you remember that, yeah. And we come out of that full of joy, wanting to dance and everything. But as we came out, there was a new guy that just moved into Leyndon, and he was over there with his girlfriend, and he was surrounded by the Basildon boys. They didn't like us Leyndon boys. And they were going to hurt the guy. So we went over there. Mimi Waite went over there. Was it you, Tone, or was it Les? I can't remember. Remember that one? Les? Could be Les. So anyway, we've gone over and we said, "Look, guys, you know, he's with his girlfriend. So leave him alone." And anyway, so Terry and his girlfriend jollily walked on and left me and my mate there, was Les. And all of a sudden we got ambushed, we got swamped, and they kicked the stuffing out of us. And that's just how it was. So when you get ambushed, all right, we put it right a few years later, Diane, it was all right, but I'm not going to go into that one. Proper. And yeah, it wasn't Colin, no. And so, but the thing is, when you get ambushed, it's not a good thing. It isn't. And the thing is, the Amaleks had run and ruled that peninsula, that area, for years. They weren't going to give up their territory easily. And Israel had a battle on their hands. That's what was going on. But as we look at the story of Israel unfolding, their journey reflects our journey as a church, as us. The battles that they had, we will have similar battles today. And so, guys, did you know that you're called into a war? That's what we're called into. You know, yes, we're called into this love relationship and into family, but also there's a war going on. But we... And it says in verse 16 that I read out there, that the Lord will war against the Amaleks from every generation. So we are just one of them generations where we will have our battles, each one. But our war isn't against people, guys. It's not against people. Our war is against the things in our hearts, the habits in our hearts, the sin in our hearts that have had their way for too long. And unless we deal with them, they will come out and they will ambush us and throw us off track of what God wants to do in our lives. Things like selfishness that is there, anger that is there, passivity that is there, can't be botheredness that is there, pornography that is there. And so my question as we start this is, have you been ambushed lately because you haven't dealt with the things in your heart? Well, God is saying to us this morning, it's time to deal with it. It's time to fight, to stand up and fight. Because God wants to help you with that. That's the whole thing. Does anyone want God's help to clean their heart of stuff? Yeah? Come on, what well done, Diane. Straight up there. Amen. He does. He wants to help us with that. But this passage tells us this. It tells us to be prepared. Don't be an unprepared Christian that's battered about by every wind of doctrine that's out there. We run to whatever feeds our itching ears, it says, or we're just in life, just not really understanding that it is going to get tough out there because we live in a fallen world, a broken world. We don't belong here. We belong in heaven. It's not going to feel right to us because it isn't right to us. But this passage is saying, no, be prepared. Be ready for it, because guys, there is a spiritual battle going on all around us all the time. It's invisible, it's unseen, but guys, it's very, very real, and we know that. Ephesians 6 says that we are fighting against the powers of spiritual darkness in the heavenly realms that actually have a real effect on our daily lives, each one of us. And the enemy loves to attack our mind. And tell us how rubbish we are. And he wants to defeat us with that and put despair into our hearts and minds, put depression upon us. Difficulties come and distractions come in our lives. And if we're not ready, we're going to be sucker punched. We're going to be put out of the game. And right now, we've got to really watch our emotions, because everyone coming out of lockdown seems to be on heightened emotional level where it can sprout off over anything. And we've got to watch ourselves with that, guys. Let the Holy Spirit bring self-control to that. And I speak for myself. I know that tendency right now is there. And so we've got to dress for battle, guys, just like a soldier dresses for battle. Can you imagine going out into a battle with your flip-flops on your Speedos on, and you've got no gun, you've just got maybe a slush puppy in your hand, you're going to get hurt, aren't you? You're going to get shot at. Yeah, but sometimes us Christians go out into the world with that kind of mindset and attitude. And I think a lot of the teaching today in church can lead us that way. It's all nice, hunky-dory, haven't got to do anything, all that kind of stuff can lead us there. Where the Bible clearly tells us that be prepared, get dressed, put the armour of God on, Paul says. So have you been battling recently? Have you been ambushed, yeah, with despair or depression or difficulties? Have you been there? When I was going through this sermon, when I was preparing this sermon, I had 2 days where it was like, I just felt this heaviness. I thought, let Debbie know, this heaviness, this weight was on me. And it was like, God, what is this? I mean, Debbie, no, have I ever done something really wrong or I'm doing something really right? That's the conclusion I had. And gradually, over the 2 days, it cleared. So none of us are free from this kind of stuff. There is a real battle that goes on. But I hung on, and I know that some of you are going through that right now. As I prepared this, God said, I want you to do this because some of my people are going through that. And if you're not now, there will be a time in the future because our enemy is relentless. He hates us and he will jump out at us at an opportune time. Basically, that means when you're really not ready for it or don't want it, he will come. So be prepared, guys. But did you know this? That you were born to win. Did you know that? You're on the winning side already. You were born to be victorious. So ask yourself, am I living a victorious life, or am I the one with always the mopey, downtrodden story? Am I the one who's always, woe is me? Because it shouldn't be like that. Jesus said in 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so God, this is the thing, is that God could have wiped the Amalekites out any time. He could have breathed on them and disintegrated them. But he didn't, and he didn't want to. You know why? Because he wanted his people to learn how to fight. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to have a story. He wanted to be able to honour them for their faith and overcoming the obstacles in their way. To overcome and their commitment to him and his purpose in their lives. And it's the same today. You know, Wigglesworth said this, that great faith comes out of great fights. That great testimonies come through great tests. That great triumphs come out of great trials. And so God wants to honour each of you today and say, well done for the trials you've come through already. Well done for the faithfulness that you have shown. Receive the well done of God for the things you've overcome in your life so far. But guys, don't give up. Don't give up at this time. It is a hard time. But keep going, God will say, because the best is yet to come. Amen. Live that victorious life. Can we have a glory to that?
Glory.
Come on. Come on. And so, as Moses, he said, right, it's time to take action. It's time to do something. We're not going to sit and let it all happen. Amalekites come and do what they want. No, 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 no. Joshua, you go and choose some men. So there's a bit of wisdom thrown in there. Go and choose some men, the right ones, and go and fight this time. We've got to do something. Now, this is a change in tact, because as you look at the story so far, Israel, you know, had come out of Egypt, and they didn't have to do anything, did they? And Moses just put his staff down. God did it all. God moved the waters, dried the land. They walked through. All they had to do is walk to the other side, and then God killed all the Egyptians that were on the way to them. So God did it all. God did it mightily for them. They did nothing. And we see this many times in the Bible, where in Chronicles 2:20, now, God said to Israel then, there was fighting then, he said, no, 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 you stand firm, don't do anything. The battle belongs to the Lord. And that's what God did at that time. The battle belongs to the Lord. He did it all. But what I see today is an overemphasis on being. Just be, some teachers say. Just be who you are. Just be. It's the Spirit of God that does it all. We know that's true. But I believe it is paralyzing the church today, and where people are not doing anything because I think God will do it all. Just be is what they will teach you. Now, it really is important that we have the right identity, that we know that we're loved by God, we're sons and daughters of God, that we're forgiven, he accepts us, not just that, loves us, gives us all eternity to be with him. He adores us. We're the apple of his eye. We're cherished by God. We must get to that place where we're totally convinced of that. But when we get there, it compels us to do something. Like we said about the guys in prison this morning, we got to go and visit them. We can't not. It matters that so many are banged up inside like that. It matters there are so many broken people in the world out there. It matters that there are so many hurting people out there without anyone to help. It matters that there are different parts of the world where people are struggling and suffering out there. It matters that people are lonely out there in the world with no one, no families around them. It matters that people are lost and are facing an eternity in a place that we don't even want to mention nowadays. It matters. And it matters to God. It matters so much that God came out. He gave up heaven. It was the most amazing and is the most amazing place ever. God gave it up to come down. He saw what we were going through down here. He saw the trials and tribulations that we have down here. I can't handle it anymore. I've got to go and do something about it. And boy, did he do something about it. He gave us hope down here. And that is where our identity must surely take us. To the place where we've got to do something. It's time to do something. Because in verse 16 it says that every generation will have its battles to have. Did you know that there was a time in the church where the battle was we had to battle for the authority of the Bible? Can you believe that? There were men in the world that would say that their authority was equal to the Bible. They usually wear dresses and weird hats, that kind of thing. All right, the Pope, if you didn't work that one out. Them lot. Okay, and they did. They thought they had as much authority as the Bible. We had to fight for that one, guys, through Martin Luther. And then there was another time when we had to battle for salvation by faith alone. Because the church was teaching at the time that you could be good enough to go to heaven. Who knows? It's taken for granted now. No. People know that you can't. Earn your way to heaven. You've got to receive it by grace. It's a gift that God gives you if you repent of your sins and accept He is God. We had to win that war. And then there are the spiritual gifts, the whole Pentecostal movement where praying in tongues was frowned upon. Getting baptized in the Spirit was weird. Now, we had to fight for that. That's where New Frontiers came out. And now, look, most high street churches love the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we had to fight for that. And then there were worship bands. And some of you remember that, where it was dun-dun-dun-dun. It was the organ every week, you know. And it was like, them upstart youngsters, they want drums on there. And it caused church splits. It was a fight. And now, look, everyone wants proper worship music with a band. And let's give Tony another big round of applause. Well done, Tony. We love you, mate. We love you. And then there's the prophetic and miracles. Yeah. But today's battle, guys, I'm convinced of this from streams around the world hearing it, is to do the very first thing, the one thing that God asks us to do, is go and make disciples of all nations, because what we've done with church, and we've inherited it in the West over many, many years now, we say, you come to church, we'll give you a nice little welcome in the morning, we'll give you a nice cup of tea, a nice little hug, and then someone will stand at the front who's unpacked the word, and we're going to do that for you as well, and then we'll pray for you at the end, and isn't, you know, we'll give you a worship, we're going to do that for you as well, so you come and we're going to meet your every need. And then come to a Bible study during the week where someone else unpacks the Word of God and you get a biscuit and a cup of tea as well and a hug and a little prayer and it's all done for you. And you know what we've produced as church? We've produced this consumer mentality where people expect it all to be done. Jesus didn't do that. He said, go and make disciples, not come and receive, although we love that. That's part of it. And so when you look at Jesus' life, Jesus spent his whole life discipling people, making disciples. And you know, we all know Billy Graham, I'm sure. Billy Graham used to fill stadiums with the gospel and that. And someone asked him before he passed, they said to him, Billy, if there's anything that you could do different, what would you do? He said, I would have got 12 men and built everything that I knew into them 12 men. He would have made disciples. So in our short time left, guys, are you a disciple maker? Are you making disciples, simply sharing what Jesus has already done for you with somebody else? As Colin was saying earlier, in the Alpha course, it's the most wonderful feeling to see people actually get it and grasp it and start to become like Jesus. Is that you? Are you doing that? And so back to the story. So the fight is on. Amalekites are on them. And the next day, Moses gets up and says, Joshua, you go and fight the Amalekites. Well, I'm going to go and stand on a hill. Moses knew that they needed God to win this. He knew that God was the only one that could help them through this. And Jesus did the same thing. As we look at Jesus' life, Jesus spent much time in the presence of the Father. And he showed us a pattern to live. This is what our life should look like. And so he spent much time with the Father. And he said the same to us in Matthew 6:6. He said, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in heaven. Because that's where your battles will be won, each one of us. Mother Teresa said this, that praying is not asking God. Praying is putting ourselves in the hands of God. And so we put ourselves in the hands of God. If we want loving families, we do that. If we want great relationships, we go to God. If we want to overcome the fears in our life, we go to God. If we want to overcome financial problems, we go to God. He will help. He promised that. And we see that. You know, where Moses' hands were in the air and his prayer and he's with the Lord, they won. As soon as he dropped his hand down, they started to lose. And so what that tells us is that God doesn't just want prayer, he wants fervent prayer. He wants us to pray with everything that we've got. Everything. Fervent prayer like we do on a Saturday mornings. You know, God is a person. When you're speaking to God and you're praying to God, it's like he's waiting for you to talk to him. So can you imagine God up there and you turn up, oh God, thank you that I'm alive, or thank you that, and God go, if I was him, I'd be going, son, are you bored? Well, yeah, a little bit. Yes, so am I, I'd say. Go back to your TV. Go back to your little life. You know, God wants to know we care about what we're praying for. He wants to know that there's zeal behind it, that we believe that our prayers are going to make a difference, that we're speaking to our Father in heaven, that we give him that respect, that we come to him, we pray of everything. That's what the hands in the air are all about, that we come to him like that. Come to our Father who is in heaven. You ready for that, guys? Yeah? Because that's what God wants for each one of us. You see, so as we look at the story, look at your life as we look at the story. How's it panning out in your life? Because the battle was won not because of Joshua's mighty power or his skills, fighting skills with a sword. No, he won it because Moses had his hands in the air. And God stepped in to sort it out. And God wants to step in to sort your life out like that. And so, church, it's time to stop doubting God. It really is. If you look at verse 7 there, Israel got rebuked for saying, is the Lord with us? Is he not with us? Is he not? Is he not? I wouldn't do it if I knew God was with me. God doesn't want that. You need to listen. What does the Bible say? The kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. God is with us, guys. And this is how we approach God. This is how we read the Bible. Not as something to learn as knowledge, although there's a lot of that there. No, it's a relationship to grow in. So as we approach the Bible, we say to the Bible, Holy Spirit, you wrote the Bible. Will you please reveal to me what you want me to hear today? Speak to me, God. Give me revelation. I cannot understand your Bible unless you reveal what it means to me. You cannot, in the physical, rationalize your way through the Bible. It has to come through God's revelation, through the Holy Spirit revealing. And that's what we do. This is what a disciple does. We go to the Bible. We say, God, speak to me. And when he speaks to us, then we do what he says. That's the bit that's been missing. We've been going to the Bible so that we can get loads of knowledge and just be, but we haven't done it. And for so many of us, I put my hands up, but it's got to change. You know, I've been like that at times. You know what we're called to do? Even if we don't understand why God is asking us to do something or what he's asking us to do, even if it doesn't make sense to us, we do it. The opposite of that is self-will. Not your will be done, but my will be done. And so you would say, yeah, but if I heard God, if I heard him, then I would do that. It says, my sheep, listen to what it says in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. It says my sheep, that's us guys. We hear his voice. So it doesn't say, you might hear, if I'm having a good day, then I'll let you hear my voice. No, it says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So the answer is start to believe. You start to believe that you're hearing from God, and suddenly you will start to see that you've already been hearing from him all these years. You just didn't have ears to hear. We start to believe. And God wants to speak to us every day. But you see, when Moses got tired, his hands dropped, they started to lose. And so we got to hold our hands up if we want to win. And what that is a call to do is persistent prayer. That we have to keep going back to God. We get an idea of what he wants, but we go back. And then we go back and we go back again. It's a continued thing, this relationship with God. About a year ago, I was in prayer with Duncan and Andy, and just had an amazing time with the Lord. And I said to Duncan, I just felt that God said that you've got to look after the guys from Basildon, and because these guys were hooking in through Zoom at the time. Some of them are on that today, and welcome you guys. But God said that. So Duncan said, well, let's write their names down and start praying with them, and we'll see where it goes. So we wrote their name down. It was on a blackboard for ages. We were just praying for them. And I just felt the Holy Spirit went back and said, God, what are you saying? He said, there's unfinished business there. So I felt the Holy Spirit again. So go and do a picnic. We did a picnic in a garden and we had many people there. And went back to God. We did a barbecue. That was great too. And just felt the Holy Spirit speaking. And it was like, God, but how do we develop this? How's that going to work? So I thought about visiting churches that we could use their buildings, all that kind of stuff. Just ask for God for wisdom. And then he said, don't do a camping week. Okay, so we did a camping week. We've done it there before. And again, we had a fantastic time. It was great. But I still wasn't sure in my heart, what do we do with this? What do we do? And the Holy Spirit spoke again as I was in the garden down there. And he showed me two trees. And Debbie's dad came over and he went, look at the trees, Clive. He said, they've got no leaves on. He thought they were dead. And he said, what do we do with them? I said, give them another couple of weeks. And I'm sure, like all the other trees had leaves on them. What do we do? I said, just leave them for another couple of weeks and we'll see. Within 10 days, all the leaves have started to bud out. And within 2 weeks from then, they were flourishing with leaves everywhere. And I felt, you know, and it was the weirdest thing. Because we'd only got about a third of our people back here. What, church plant? When we're struggling, even now, it's a bit of rain, people stay away. It's like, God, we church plant now? And it was like, no, that's what I have said. Two flourishing trees. And so, you know, once I've heard, it was like, although this really doesn't make sense, God, I know you're sovereign. And I know if I've heard your voice, it's going to be. And I'm fully convinced and proclaim it is going to be. And as we step forward, many things started to come into place. You know, we formed a little team there ready to guide it through the next couple of years. And then my son left the cabin. He's got a beautiful house now, but that allowed us to do church in the cabin eventually. And then God asked us to do an alpha course from there, which we've got about 16 people regularly coming along. And a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, five of them prayed, responded to the gospel. Look at that church. And so what we'd seen in the spirit in that prayer room all of a sudden had started to unfold in our lives if we would just follow him. Church, the enemy has had his way for too long. Yes. It's time to fight back. You ready to fight back, church?
Yes.
Come on, well, Colin is anyway. You ready to fight back, church?
Yeah, come on.
You see, Paul doesn't just, he calls us back to family and love and all that stuff, but he also calls us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of it. Take hold of this eternal life that I've given you. So there's a taking hold of it. It's not just sitting back and watching it all happen. It isn't that. We do work out our identity. We do live out our identity. But we have to do something. We're compelled to do something. Each one of us have our place and part to play. It was time for Israel to fight. It's time for us to fight. Moses had his hands in the air and he was praying with God. That's how he fought. Joshua got his hands dirty and fought with the sword. Guys, we're going to need both if we're going to complete all that God has got for us. You believe that, guys? Come on, let's stand and we're going to pray to God a little bit now and just ask him to come and flood into our hearts, flood into our lives. Come, Lord. You want to give it a... That's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, guys, we've heard a rally cry from God. That it's time to fight. Guys, fight for a pure heart. That we would deal with the jealousies. We would deal with the angers and the upsets. That they will just ambush us at the wrong time. We think we control them. We do not. They will control us. The sin of laziness, the sin of pornography. We've got to eradicate it out of our hearts. Don't be ambushed, guys, by the Amalekites of today. And it's time to fight for our marriages. Time to fight for our families. Time to fight for our friendships. Time to fight for our businesses. Time to fight because God wants to help us. Time to fight to be a disciple maker. How hard is it to share with someone else how good and loving and glorious Jesus has been for us? That's all we have to do. Show them how to read his word. Then they can hear for themselves. Are you a disciple maker? Right now, think of who it is that you could come alongside just to share Jesus with them and see their lives transform like we're seeing, like Colin spoke about earlier. You know, think of Eloise. What is she, 10, 12? Full of the joys of the Lord now.
Yeah.
Mum, who was a bit rejected by society, I don't know why, finding complete acceptance and love. And see the life transforming as she invites Christ in. It's just been amazing. Guys, let's not forget that. It's the first thing that God called us to. Come and make disciples. I'm going to make you what? Fishers of men.
Come on.
It's time to persist in prayer, guys. You know, Moses prayed all night long. Wonder how long our prayer time is. I met a pastor once who said, I pray when I'm on the toilet. Well, that guy must be on the toilet a long time if that's worth doing. You know, sometimes you have to grab a moment. I do agree with that. But guys, how can we stay away from our loving Father for long? How can we? Our soul cries out for more time with him. There are souls in here today dry. There are souls in here today that are confused, downtrodden, depressed. And God said, I'm the answer. Through Jesus, I'm the answer. If only you would come to me. If only you would come, even today, I would heal you. And only believe, guys. Only start believing that you're hearing from God. And you will start to hear. you'll start to hear his voice and realize that he's been speaking to you all the time. And what he wants to do, he wants you to learn how to fight so that he can honor you for all eternity. So he can look into you in the eye and say, well done, my faithful servant, and bless you forever with your story of what he's done in your life.